Hey, it's the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Chris Lorton. I'm your host again today. And today, my guest, gosh dang it, we go back way, way back, way back. Johnny G, Johnny Gettin. Welcome, Johnny, into the studio.
Awesome. Thanks. Yeah. It's great to be here.
Yeah.
This ought to get pretty good. I don't know. It'll be entertaining, if anything, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
for us, maybe.
Yeah, for us. That's good. Yeah. I mean, how old are you now?
I just turned 51. And,
my gosh. So
I know it.
51.
I know.
I just remember, like, you worked at the hotel restaurant bar for me. And
over 30 years, probably.
I know. 30 years ago. You were my right-hand man.
There for a while, yeah.
You'd work in the summer. It was like, we had a lot of fun.
A lot of hard work back then, too. Nothing's really changed with that business, I guess.
No, it's always
hard.
Always the same. Yeah. And, you worked there for me. Matt worked for me. Ben was there. I don't know where Ben was.
He was on the payroll.
He was the payroll. I don't know exactly. I think he was busting tables.
Maybe.
Nate was the only one I never had on.
No, I don't think so. Nate was, Nader, right? He graduated high school and, he went out to Oregon, went to school out in Oregon, Oregon State. Yeah. He was a Beaver. And,
you didn't really see him around much.
He really, as a young guy, just really wasn't. He wasn't around. He went out to Oregon State, and when he graduated, got a job with the state of Illinois, and he was in Charleston for a long time. He hasn't been in this area much, until recently. He works at the park now. So.
But he's been working at the park for a few years.
I think he's been there a few years now. You know how time escapes us. We're gonna try to piece some of this stuff together today, but our timelines are probably not good.
They might be off. Don't hold us accountable.
Right, exactly. So don't hold us accountable on dates and times.
You graduated from high school from Carrollton, and then you went to college where?
Yep. I went to Eastern Illinois, and you
– Yeah, I went to Eastern as well.
I graduated high school in 1992 and went to Carrollton High School. That means I grew up in Carrollton, Illinois in the 80s,
Great town to grow up in.
Great place to be, I guess, yeah. And
now, were you a basketball player, too?
I was. I was never really that great. Uh-huh. I tell you, because
Matt was pretty
Matt
good.
Matt was really
Ben,
good.
And Ben was
Matt,
really good.
Matt was really good, and Ben was obviously outstanding. And one thing about basketball that I loved is, Nate's 2 years, two years younger than I am. And he graduated in 94, I think. And, I always remember, Nate, he was always better than I was. So I think the coach half the time just put me out on the floor, but I was always out there with old Nader, Nate never did shoot the ball. He just ran around like a squirrel and dribbled around everybody. I played football 4 years in high school.
What'd you play, back, running back or something?
I kind of played everywhere, really.
Okay.
I remember my senior year, I was set to be the varsity quarterback. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that didn't turn out real good for the Carrollton Hawks. Our first game, I can't recall where we were at, but Greg Pohman was coach, and obviously as an adult, very good friend of mine still. And I remember we took the field. I did double sessions as varsity quarterback, get to our first game. We go out. I throw an interception in the first series of the game, and Greg pulls me over to the side, and he goes – you are the worst quarterback I have ever seen in my entire life. And I was like, well, luckily I know the playbook. You can put me anywhere. So, I played one series of downs as varsity.
One series?
Yeah, that's it.
And he canned you? Done.
He canned me after one series. So I went from handing it off to actually carrying it. So I my senior year football, I was running back pretty much the entire season. So, and my basketball prowess was not that great, but I didn't really start varsity until I was a senior in basketball, but I ran track.
Yeah.
After basketball season.
So you're pretty fast.
I don't know about that. I did some distance running a little bit, but my main thing for track was pole vault. I started pole vaulting whenever I was young, like sixth grade.
I did too.
And
pole vaulting's fun.
It is fun. Very dangerous.
Yes.
probably not. I'm pretty sure it's probably a little less dangerous now doing it, but with probably safety protocols that they have going on. But I pole vaulted pretty much my whole high school career. Was lucky enough to go. I went to the state finals one year.
Wow.
As a senior.
So,
yeah.
So what's the highest you ever went?
I know you're 15, I knew you're gonna
15 feet?
Oh no.
But, oh yeah, that's pretty tall. 15 feet.
That's up there. Oh, I think probably
12.
They're 12'6", probably roughly in that area, I would guess, which was way good enough for me.
Yeah.
Obviously not good enough to compete statewide. There's a lot of good vaulters out there, but never played baseball in my life. I was always scared of the ball. It was the craziest thing, but I've never actually been on the baseball field. So, never played any organized.
How did you get in the, you've been in the bar business, restaurant bar business for a long time.
Yeah.
All right. And of course I was in the restaurant bar business. What attracted you to the restaurant bar business?
Oh, you know, I really don't know. When at Eastern, I got a job at Marty's on campus.
Oh yeah,
and it was part time job, but basically worked at night. And then coming home, and then you introduced me to more of a. Obviously, the scene was different, and you know that. At Marty's, they did have food there, burgers and such, and
pizzas
there and things like that. Yeah. So I tell you what, when I'd come home and help you for the summers and you had the hotel, it was the kitchen kind of just intrigued me, really. Yeah. You know, and I remember, you know, that was kind of my first experience with like
did I full have you in the kitchen at all?
No, not
I didn't
really.
Think so.
No, yeah. No. And but you had chef on hand and there was had a good crew of guys in there.
Yeah.
And man, they were cranking out some good stuff. And at the time it was you're doing food that you just really couldn't get in around, you know. And it kind of intrigued me, I guess. And
you know, the fun thing about that place at that time in that era, okay, we had basically about 7,000 square feet of nightclub, bar, and game room.
Yes. You know?
And sometimes that place would be packed.
Yes.
I mean, we'd have like 400 or 500 people at that place.
Yes.
I mean, it was kind of crazy.
It got a little crazy in there. That was, it was really good. We had a lot of fun doing that. But,
And you end up leasing the place from
it. I did. Yes.
You and Matt for a whole year.
For a whole year. And we ended up, and when I left Eastern early in order to pursue this, what at the time was, you know, or still is, I guess, a passion. And the Oasis restaurant in Carrollton was for sale. And I left college early to pursue that. And in April 15th, tax day in 1997.
Wow, what a memory.
Oh, man.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I've got Johnny Gettin with me here in studio and going over some history.
We're not going to be able to fit this into one session, I don't think.
But you ended up buying?
My older brother Matt and I, we bought the Oasis in 97. And Matt, he was really a driving force for us to go there.
He was a numbers guy too.
Yes, he's very, very, very smart man. Yeah, yeah. He's one of the smartest people I've ever been around.
He was smart.
Know, yeah, and
I'm not saying you're not.
No, I get that, but there's a place for me, and it's usually behind a grill.
He was more serious.
Yes, behind a desk it doesn't always work for me, you know, but. Him and I bought it in 1997, and he was obviously had worked for you, uh-huh. and very much, you know, enjoyed your place. And at the time, yeah, I don't remember exact dates or anything on when this would have happened, but I think we were at the Oasis for maybe a year. And then we came to you to lease the hotel, and it was a very, very hard thing to do to operate
places.
one place, and
let
it was
too.
It was a really difficult situation, especially with the distance between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Matt redirected his focus. He really wanted to go to law school,
mm-hmm.
and so at the end of our lease agreement, we opted out of the lease. And Matt, I don't know exactly how old he would have been, but he off to boot camp he went.
Yeah.
He joined the military, and the military put him through law school, and. It's just
where's Matt living at now? Colorado?
He is not in Colorado anymore. He bought a house in the Springfield area and
in
works
Illinois?
Out. Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
You guys get together at all?
I don't see him a whole lot, to be honest with you. And I don't know how often he's back kind of in this uh-huh. area. I know he's super busy. I'm sure they're. They maybe all be hunting today, and I don't know. He may be in the area, but he moved to Springfield. He was in Colorado on a contract with the military,
uh-huh.
and that got complete. And he bought a house in Springfield. He's got his sons there, and he works for the Appellate Prosecutor's Office there.
I see.
And I think they sent him. He's on the road quite a bit. So,
hey, now with the Oasis,
yep,
you did the big reno, sports bar reno, which
yes.
was it, that was an amazing reno that it, you did to that place.
It was very. I don't even know how we accomplished that. To be honest with you,
I tell
I
you,
that, I have no idea.
You opened that place up, and Brenda and I. At that time, we weren't in the restaurant bar business. At that time, I was in the construction business.
Right.
And we loved going down there. I just like, at that time, there wasn't that many sports bars.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you had all those TVs, and it was just really a really true sports bar that we didn't have in the area.
Right, exactly, exactly. No, it was...
Kind of the first one of its kind.
Kind of, yeah. And We were kind of, you know, there was a lot of things we couldn't do. And, you know, that project kind of took on a whole, you know, what started to be okay, we're going to kind of clean this thing up, turned into a pretty major remodel.
Well, you cut the ceiling out.
Yes, we just took it out.
You cut the ceiling out. It was like, it had like 9-foot ceilings, 8-foot ceilings in the place, and you just cut them all out.
We just cut
everything
out. You
turned it into like, it had 12-foot ceilings. So I'm like, right. Wow, this is cool.
It did turn out really good. And I wish I knew what years we did that and things like that. But, you know, the outdoor patio, I think we did that first.
Okay.
And then did the remodel on the inside. And really the place was
who's the carpenter that did that for you?
Scott Epps. He did a lot.
He was gifted. Yes. He's gifted.
He's working on my project here in town now. Yeah.
Crew. Wow. So fantastic.
So he still does some stuff for me. I gotta beg him or trick him into doing it. You know, everybody's kind of busy, it seems like, these days. But no, he's helping me out a little bit now.
When did you buy the? You sold the Oasis.
I sold the Oasis.
Before you bought the bowling alley?
Well, that's a...
Or at that same time?
That's a big, not a long story, but we'll try to make it short.
Give me the short version.
The short version, basically, is my Uncle Tuffy and my dad, Norb, owned the property that Tri-County Bowl sits on currently.
Okay.
So... They took stock options in the bowling alley.
Okay.
And so that's why I'm there today.
Okay.
Is because this is... They
had a percentage.
You know, right. They owned a percentage of the bowling alley. So I'm not sure what year it was, but I don't know why Dad did this. I think maybe because he didn't have enough money to buy Christmas presents one year. But I remember under the tree, I had like stock certificates from Tri-County Bull. And I'm like, what am I doing? What am I? I don't even know what this is. So actually,
Anybody else get stock certificates or just you?
Well, no, I didn't get them all. No, okay. Everybody got them. So yeah, they were dispersed evenly. So, but, we've been involved as a family in Tri-County Bowl from the start.
Okay.
It wasn't even necessarily on, my radar whatsoever. I don't know enough about it. I didn't think to get involved in it.
Yeah.
I'm a food and beverage guy. And,
yeah.
I know zero about bowling, you know, but it was, there was an opportunity. Denny Tapin was selling his stock in the bowling alley. And I had an opportunity to sell the Oasis, and we kind of moved forward with it and ended up buying Denny Tapin.
Coming into Jerseyville,
which I love. I do miss Carrollton, you know. But I've been in Jerseyville probably, I've lived here over 10 years, I would guess.
Sure.
You know, so it was a good transition for me. I was already living here in town, and I would commute to Carrollton to work. But it was a good transition, and I do remember that it was a little bit tough, the COVID thing, you know, once we kind of got, I kind of got settled in at the bowling alley, and then
the COVID hit,
and it just kind of took, at the time, you know, took the wind out of the sails, and then trying to get through all that.
Gosh.
And it was extremely difficult for, you know, for everybody, you know, so, but, you know, I feel like we've, you know, I've learned a lot since I've been there.
You did a lot of remodeling at the bowling alley.
The bowling alley looks great. And we've kind of been just inching along with it.
Because you took that room that you have now, the bar, main area, when you first got that, they hardly even used that room.
It really did not get any use. We went in and changed a few things around, and, you know, what Jerseyville kind of lacked at the time whenever we were in there is just a good place to go watch a game, you know. And so we threw up a bunch of TVs. I wish I could tell you how many TVs I have in that building currently, but I don't even know if I could count them. You know what I mean?
They're cheap.
And one goes out, you throw it in the dumpster, you know. So, but it's pretty cheap entertainment. But no, we did a little remodel in the bar, and then just kind of facelifting around in the bowling alley. We've done a lot of lane work. You know,
is bowling the maintenance on bowling, is it pretty intense?
It is. It's tough. The machines that are there have been there since, you know, 96 when the bowling alley would have been set up. And now pin setters, there's not much has changed in those pin setters. But there are just a remarkable amount of moving parts in those.
Oh,
so
gosh.
I always equate it, you know, I can tell people, and especially in our community, is that everybody has fought a baler in the summertime. Baling, yeah. Hey, you know, I have 16 of them in the back room, you know. It's just like, oh,
Have you become a pretty good mechanic?
I have not, no. I have the patience of a two-year-old, you know. I can't do it. No, wrenching on things is definitely not something that I can do.
I hope you got somebody.
I do. We have a good tech that comes in and keeps the machines running. And I tell you, a lot of the newer places are, and a lot of places are getting away from those traditional pin setters, and they're going with string machines. It's interesting
string
stuff.
String machines,
yes.
Huh?
So basically,
a string is on the top of the pin.
Pin, yeah.
It gets knocked over.
And then it zips back up, and then they set the ones that...
Is that official?
Now, it is now. It wasn't always, but I think here in the last 6 months that, say, for instance, the Illinois Bowlers Association has sanctioned them as being, say, for instance, if we would have put them in a year ago, you know, that the high school wouldn't be able to have matches at the bowl. It wasn't sanctioned to where they could use it. But now I believe it is. I think the new string machines that are out now.
Are you don't have sanctioned. Strings.
Machines. I don't have strings. No,
we don't.
We're keeping it old school. As long as I have a mechanic that'll show up and fix things, I'm going to be in good shape. The pin setters, they're really with regular maintenance and a good mechanic around, they really work really good, you know.
Yeah, the cool thing about bowling, and I haven't bowled that much in my life,
yeah,
you know, but I might pick it up. Semi-retired, I could pick up some bowling, you know. But the cool thing is when you make a strike. I mean, that is the coolest thing ever.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the sound and the pins going everywhere, exactly. And then that ball comes right back up to you.
You don't have to chase it or nothing.
You don't have to move.
Right.
And you can order drinks and food. Right, exactly.
I mean, they'll be right over. It's great. Yeah, it's awesome. It's wonderful. Yep. And there's no place better to do it than right out here in town, Tri-County Bowl.
I know.
I mean, it's perfect.
Hey, we've run out of time on this episode.
Okay.
But we're going to finish up. So we got to finish up this next episode because we got some stuff we got to talk about.
Okay. I'm all for it. Okay, I got time here, okay. so we might as well stick around.
We'll tune in for the next episode and see the inside story of what's going on in bowling, especially at Tri-County Bowl.
Exactly.